Father, we do thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love to us, the Word of God that we have for concern to you. Know that you love us, know that you died on the cross to pay for all our sins. And by trusting Jesus Christ, we can know that we have eternal life. We pray that everybody here this morning who does not have assurance might come to full assurance. We who do know that we're saved might leave here with a great desire to serve and to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. For the we saw last Sunday morning about the baptism for the dead. We mentioned that this was not that some people are baptized for somebody else who is dead and it isn't saved, and now that somebody is being baptized for them, they can be saved. No, this is standing in the place of someone who's gone. When people die, they have been serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That leaves an empty spot. Someone needs to come and to take that place. Now, we don't have a lot of that here in our church. In fact, I've been here almost 9 years. I've had, I think, about five people have died in 9 years. So we haven't had many vacancies from death, but we've had a lot of vacancies from people who have left, people who moved out of town. We have those all the time. In fact, you see a lot of vacant pews this morning. Well, we've had a lot of graduated people. They've gone from town now. They have jobs other places. We need to fill those places up. They also left places of service. There were a lot of these people who had gone and were having opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And those places need to be filled. And that's what he's talking about. Now, we're going to have a baptismal service in a few moments. These people that are going to be baptized, not being baptized to be saved or to stay saved, they're giving you their testimony that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Baptism, a believer's baptism like these people have trusted Jesus Christ. Some of them a few weeks ago, some of them a few months ago. Maybe some of them even longer than that. But they have been saved, and if they die right now, they'll go to heaven. Because baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with service. It's a testimony. Now, we should all be good testimonies. Like I said, we've had people who have left here that's been a good testimony. They've really served the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had a couple of people who have left who were working in the bus ministry. And faithful to do that. They're gone now. We don't have anybody to fill their place yet. Maybe God will speak to you and you are the person to fill the place. I don't know. But if you do not have a ministry, I do know God has a ministry for you somewhere. That's not the only place that we have vacancies. We have a lot of people. They all need to be filled. You need to find out where God wants you so that you can enjoy the abundant life that he has for you. Now that's what he's talking about in verse 29, 30, 31, along with that. Then in verse 32 he says, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what doth it profit me if the dead rise not?" Now there are a lot of Christians who don't realize that one day we who have trusted Jesus Christ are going to be raised from the dead. If we die, we're going to be raised from the dead, and we're going to live on this earth another 1,000 years. We're going to live on this earth. And then after the 1,000 years is over, then we're going to live for the rest of eternity in a resurrected body with God. This life is not the only life that we have. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, then we are all men most miserable. And that certainly is true. That is, if we are in a place of service for Jesus Christ, if we have dedicated our lives unto him, if we have poured out ourselves to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, not everybody here is doing that. We have people in our church who live for themselves. All they're interested in is their own personal gain. That which they can get out of life now. And if that's what you're living for, you do not realize that they, or you do not apply to your life the Christ and the doctrine of the resurrection of the Christian. Now is the time that we really need to be serving Jesus Christ. Now is the time that we can affect other people and influence other people to serve Jesus Christ and to glorify Him and to be saved. During the 1,000 years, we won't have to be telling everybody to know the Lord. During that 1,000 years, we're reigning on the earth with Jesus Christ. We won't go around teaching the Word of God and witnessing to people and telling them how they can be saved. Why? They'll all know. The Bible says the knowledge of the Lord don't come to the earth as the water covers the sea. That's pretty close, isn't it? Because if you don't have any water, you don't have any sea. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, you're acting like you're in the 1,000 years. You're acting like that we're reigning with Christ because you're sitting up in the stands and you're not witnessing for Him and you're not serving Him. You're griping about those who are. Come down on the field and start playing. That's what Paul says. That's what he's saying here. Notice, he says, let it says, if the dead rise not, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil company. And when he's talking about evil company, he's not talking about the unsaved. He's talking about the saved. Evil company corrupts good morals or good habits. If you hang around Christians who aren't serving the Lord, are you going to serve the Lord? And I'm very careful who my close friends are. I want to be closely associated with those who are really and truly sold out for Jesus Christ. Somebody's always interested in just having a party or just having a good time or doing anything. I like a good time. I'm not a fuddy daddy. I don't like to go around frowning all the time. But I'm interested in winning lost people for Jesus Christ. Learning from God. You know, it's almost impossible to rise above the infection of the church. You want to be a good witness and a good testimony, then you hang around people to do. Associate with those people. You can't find anybody. It's always in their mind. There's always something. Always left. You can't do that. You can't keep talking all this shit. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Notice verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, what were they doing in God? They were doing everything in the world except being a good witness and a good testimony. They were coming to church, bringing their Bible with them. I'm not talking about water or milk. They were getting drunk and bragging about it. They were going to court with each other. They were suing each other. They were doing everything just about wrong that you could do. And once the thing got started, then it just sort of mushroomed. Robin really had wanted to have a good testimony for Jesus Christ. That's the one. That's just like unsaved people. Do you know any unsaved people who are really, really extra people going to heaven? Who cares? I remember when I was unsaved. I knew I was going to hell, and I just figured that I was going to have to make some friends with some folks who are going to be down there too, and so we'd just have a good time, and we could have a party there. But you know, I found out that, you know, when you're falling, you can't do a whole lot of parties. They're talking about being a bottomless pit. there you don't have anything to stand on. Flaming fire. I hope you know how to fall apart by one day. Some of the hardest work I've ever done. In hell, you're not going to be able to fight it. And walk it. It says, some have not the knowledge of God. We need to roll up our sleeves and we need to go to work and we need to be witnesses to be shot. Because people who are outside of Christ, who never trusted Him as their Savior, are literally going to hell and they can stay there forever if they don't trust Him. And maybe you're like that this morning. You have never trusted Jesus Christ. I've got good news for you. The best news in all the world. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died there for you and He paid for all of your sins. Everything that you ever have done that's wrong, He paid for it. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He hath redeemed us from all iniquity. That's what He did on the cross. Was pay for sin. Now He paid for your sin. Now you've got to trust Him. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ? He died for you. He was buried. He arose again. He arose again. All your sins were completely paid for. That's the reason why you can come back to the dead. When you trust Him, when you trust somebody, you believe they'll be going to be saved. Yeah. He keeps us right alive. Will He save you? He said that He so loved you, that He died for you, that when you trust Him, you have everlasting life. And you can trust Him in your sins right where you are, right now. You can believe that He died for you personally, just like you were the only person in the world. And when you do that, eternal life is yours. When you trust Jesus Christ, you can actually trust Him. Has three parts. One is you believe or you know the fact. The fact is that Christ died is very true. Second, you believe those facts to be true. That actually in time, space, history, there was a man who was God who took on flesh and made Jesus Christ. He died on that cross literally. You believe that He did that. He was buried. He literally came back from the dead. That's the second. And the third part is your trust. You believe that He did that. Put all of your eggs in one basket. Completely depend upon Him. Now, if you've never done that, you can do it. You see, right where you see right now. You can watch what He does. Is that true? The moment you trust, you'll have eternal life. Now, possibly up until this time, you never understood that. Because we who know Christ as our Savior maybe not have never explained that to you. But we have now. I just got to do it. I did my responsibility. I did what God asked me to do. And He wants you to be saved. Now I did it not out of beauty. I did it because somebody told me they loved me enough. They were interested in me enough to tell me. And you can save me. You have to be saved. If you have to. Now, in verse 35, he says, but some men shall say, how are the dead raised up? That's question number one. The question comes up is, how are people raised from the dead? How does it happen? That's answered in verse 36. And then the second question is, and with what body did they come? And that's answered in verse 37 through 49. Now, how are they raised? Well, in verse 36, food. Now, I realize it's not very popular for preachers to call the congregation food, but that's what Paul did to the Corinthian folks. And I'm not saying that to you this morning. I'm just reading the Scripture. I know you're not foolish. I wouldn't dare do a thing like Paul did. But foolish people there are. What? That which thou sowest is not made alive except it die first. In other words, something
thing has got to die before it can be raised. Now, how is it raised? It dies first, and then it comes back. And he gives some illustrations of this. It dies before we can be raised. Then what body will it come? Well, there are three different kinds of bodies that he has here in the context. First, he goes to body, plants. He says, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. In other words, when someone dies and we go out and we plant them in the ground, and we do plant them all, or not necessarily plant them all in the ground, some of them aren't planted, some of them put them in mausoleums and things like that, but most people are planted in the ground. And when that seed is planted, it's going to be raised. It's going to come up. Now, not all seeds come up immediately, do they? There's some seeds that lay in the ground for weeks, some for months, some for years before it comes up. In the same way it is with a human body. Planted, some are going to come up quicker than others. Because they've been there, haven't been there as long as others. Of course, we'll all come up at the same time. We can all germinate exactly the same time. But he says that body is, shall be, but a bare grain. When you put a little seed in the ground, the farmers are putting all kinds of seeds in the ground about this time of year. Now they're putting those seeds in the ground so they'll come up. They're putting some soybean seeds in the ground. They're putting some cotton seeds in the ground. They're putting some butterbean seeds in the ground. They're putting all kinds of seeds in the ground. All right? He says, now, you put a bare grain in there, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. Well, when you put a wheat seed in the ground, what comes up? When you put cotton seed in the ground, what comes up? Cotton plant. All right. But notice verse 38. But God giveth it a body. In other words, that seed that's placed in the ground, that man that we buried the other day, it's going to come up. Mrs. Price that we buried a couple of months ago, her body's going to come up one day. It's been planted. It's going to sprout. And God's going to raise it, notice, as it pleases Him. Now, how does it please God? It always pleases God to make something perfect. God never makes something perfect. Now, this body I've got right now is a little imperfect. Now, let's put it mildly. I know how imperfect it is more than you do. Because you have a hard time looking at it. I do the best I can with that, but one day it won't be hard to look at. All the little flaws will be gone. I got a shoulder out of place. Back in place. I've got a knee that comes out every once in a while, embarrass my wife then when I lay down on the ground, I have to put back. And lay back and work like that. When He gives me my resurrected body, it's going to be. You stand in front of the mirror, you lay, try to cover up some of that things, that's good. I have to do that. I think He's ready to come up. You won't ever have to put anybody else. Or what if you do that in front of the mirror for hours and hours and hours? If Maureen had a new body, she wouldn't be having to worry about it right now. The bride, that's the prettiest of a woman ever walked out of her life. Old Randy will be standing up again, he's almost passed out. Don't take it for granted. And I'll be there and I'll stand with you if you can fall. If God has given it a body as it pleases Him. And notice, and every seed its own body. Every seed has its own particular body. God has a certain kind of a body that He has for a kind of thing. They have this. I will be a parent, father,
type plant, mild or dark. Soybeans, same thing. That's about, he doesn't have to have the same look. He knows exactly what it looks like. And he can get it any time. That's a soybean. Well, that's a cotton. Now, some of you might not be able to tell this, but he can. God made them all different. Now, all the cotton plants are the same. All the cotton, all the soybean plants are the same. The seeds are similar. Some may be a little bit, some varieties a little bit larger than others, some a little bit smaller than others. And they may bear different times here, but they're all the same. And you can tell the difference between them. And he says he can give them to everyone, every seed its own body. Then he goes to zoology, talks about animals. He says all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men. Our skin and our tissues in our body are different from that in animals. Notice, he said, men have one kind of flesh. Beasts have another kind of flesh. Fish have another kind of flesh. And birds have another kind. You know this. Some of you won't eat any fish at all. Why? You don't like the taste. I taste it. Some kind of animals, they, you really like, you know, some of you boys, you just, all that beef you get on to, but possum, you don't get it, you know. Some of you love quail, you know, but buzzards, you would touch. But birds have one kind of fish, flesh. Animals have other kinds of flesh. They're all different. Yet, they're singular. Then he goes to astronomy. He gives us an illustration from astronomy. Celestial bodies. Heavenly bodies, sun and moon, so on and so forth. He says there are also celestial bodies. And they are bodies terrestrial, or earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. The glory, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. And another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another. Star and glory. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here. People are always wanting to know, what is my resurrected body going to be like? Will I be able to recognize James Bond? Will y'all all know me when we get to heaven? You plant on that park with the ground out there, and he's going to come up, and he's going to be different. But he'll be single. Now, I'm glad it's going to be different. Because there's a lot of things about this old body I don't particularly like. Got some problems. I named a couple of them too. Mess one of them. Some of you know some of those better than I do. But one day, God can raise this same body. Because you see, when you put that seed in the ground, and that seed germinates, and it comes up, it's not the same. That plant is not the seed, but it comes out of the seed. And that's what he's trying to tell us. That there's going to be a resurrection. It's going to be a real body. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, there's no such thing as a bodily resurrection. But it's all spiritual. And he goes on, he talks about being having spiritual bodies here. But notice, the emphasis is not on the spiritual, but the emphasis is on the body. So also the resurrection will be. In verse 42. The resurrection then is going to be like the different flesh of the celestial bodies, the sun and the moon and the stars and these kind of things, they're all different, but they're similar. The sun is up there in the sky. You can see it. At night, you can see the moon. You can even see the moon in the daytime sometimes, and sometimes you can see some of the stars. But of course, they're different. Our body is going to be different. It's going to be alive. It says,
So is the resurrection dead? It is sown in corruption. It is sown in that which is corruptible, but is raised perfect, incorruption, no death. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Sown in weakness. Boy, this body is weak. I'm not a superman. I can't fly through the sky. I can't pick up everything. Who's going to pick up my heart one day? One day I'm going to be superman. I'm going to have to glorify God. You're going to be space travel. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Notice, it is sown a soulish, a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. They have those who say, oh, resurrection is just the spirit. No, it isn't. It didn't say it was raised spiritually. It says it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And when we come back from the dead, we are going to be raised a spiritual body. It's going to be an incorruptible body. We'll be on the fire and never fail. And we're going to live in this wonderful body that God has given us. Not only through 1,000 years, but before we go to heaven. Stand before the judgment seat of Christ, be rewarded for that which we have done for you, come back to the earth, live and reign with Jesus Christ, now resurrected bodies. For 1,000 years, God's going to destroy the heavens and the earth. Everything that's on it. But it won't be destroyed. Or it won't destroy my resurrected body. Then, at the end of the 1,000 years, all those who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are also going to be raised from the dead body. And they're going to have a resurrected body. And that resurrected body will be destroyed even. They'll live in that body. But they'll live in that body of separation. God, so that's the thing that Paul is thinking about. When you're a people of that strength, who have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved. They're going to have to stand before a great white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And the resurrected body that will be tormented today and tomorrow. And the reason that they'll be tormented for him is because of what's found in John. And I want you to turn to him if you will. It's in John chapter 3. And look at verse 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath, that means you've got it. You have it now. He that believeth on the Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. You have as a present possession everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The word there to abide means to remain. The wrath of God will remain. All this is a terrible thing. Not to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not my opinion. I have merely read to you from the Word of God. This is what God says in His Word. When you believe, you have everlasting life. You will be with God forever.
you don't believe, go down. We need to trust in your safety. Right now. Right where you sit. If you never have. Eternal life will be yours. Thank you. Right now, right where you sit, you can know beyond a doubt that you're going to heaven. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. God is like him. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Over and back. 180 times. He tells us when we trust Jesus Christ, or we believe on him, we're saved and have eternal life. All the way through the Gospel of John, he says over and over again, by believing, you're saved and have eternal life. Over and over again. That's the reason why he wrote the little book of John. Go home and read it this afternoon if you're not sure that you're going to have it. He tells you what he's going to tell you about in the 20th chapter, the 30th and the 31st verse. He's going to give you some signs that prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing on his name, you can have eternal life. He'll give you 7 signs that in the Gospel of John, he'll tell you about the Christ. Read what he says in your own Bible. And he'll trust in Jesus Christ so you can be saved. Father, we do thank you for eternal life. We thank you for that body that you're going to give us, that resurrected body that's going to come out of the grave one day if we die. And for we who never die, but are here when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we'll get a changed body in a moment. Our mortal body shall put on immortality. We'll be with you forever. We pray that everybody that's here this morning might be able to be with you too. Because they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And know beyond the doubt that they are children of God. Because you are God and you are. And will not forget our life.